there sitting on the table?
He may get. We've got Jill White that's going to come.
Oh.
He's in another meeting that he asked.
Am I just waiting for somebody to show up there?
No, I've got the recorded mic. It's ready to start.
Terrific. I'll start it then. I'd just like to welcome everybody to the Utah State Bail Bond Oversight Board meeting. To start with, my name is Clay Carlos. I'm the new chair. Please bear with me. I've never done anything like this, and so I have no idea what I'm doing. So as I stumble through it, you'll understand why. I guess the first bit of business we have to do here is swear in our new members.
Yes, it is.
We have Dominic Sinoni here and Tony Choate. Tony, you have a little card here in front of you. I want to put out so people understand who you are. Kathy will come up and swear these cards her own stuff just yet.
Yes.
All right. The first one we're going to do is with Dominic. Has the recorder been turned on?
It's on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Raise your right hand. I, Dominic Sinoni.
I, Dominic Sinoni.
Having been appointed to the Office of Bail Bond Surety Oversight Board Member.
Having been appointed to the Bail Bond Oversight Surety Board Member.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Or affirm that I will support.
Or affirm that I will support.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Okay. You need to sign it.
Having been appointed to the office. Surety Oversight Board Member.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend the Constitution.
Obey and defend the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of the State of Utah.
Of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge my duties.
And that I will discharge my duties.
Of my office with fidelity.
Of my office with fidelity.
I'm not sure if I'm going out of sequence here, but I believe we have somebody new to introduce.
Yeah, probably a couple that you might not be aware of. This is our AG.
Sorry, Reed Stringham.
Reed Stringham.
Oh, hi, everybody.
He's standing in for Brett today. So, Reed, as you probably already heard, I'm new here, so I might be deferring to you for a few things because normally I'd probably be looking at Brett for
great
some direction. So.
And the other person I want to introduce is Lisa Watts Baskin. She is our new ALJ, or Administrative Law Judge.
Terrific.
And she's here to learn more about what you all do.
Terrific. Next, can we get somebody to adopt the minutes?
I motion to adopt.
Second.
Okay, we have Katie motions to adopt the minutes. And Ryan second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, looks like it passed. I'm not sure. Excuse me, what was the name of our administrative law judge?
Lisa Baskin.
Lisa?
Uh-huh.
Nice to meet you, Lisa.
Nice to meet you.
Next, we have executive session that's not needed. So we'll move into Kathy. Do you have a...
Yes, the licensing
yes.
report from April through June. You've been provided with a copy of the licensing report. Again, it's for agencies and also for individuals. What we do is we show any time in April. It looks like best bail bonds was suspended April 20th, so it does show an agency action that we're having done. Bail bond report for April for the individual. It shows new licenses, lapsed licenses, and reinstated licenses. I want to bring your attention to on the days that the license was not active, so that we're trying to give you a little bit more information as far as how long your license was not active. Okay. May, there was no agency activity. And again, the report for May does show how long a reinstated license, how long it took the person to reinstate their license. Generally speaking, what happens is once they've got their license reinstated, the agency that they were associated with associates them about the same time. They can't associate them prior
right.
to them being licensed. June, apparently we had quite a few more reinstated licenses. So there were some that were out there for quite some time before they were reinstated. Those, again, I do send out letters and I do send them to the agency and to the agent to find out how many bonds were written during that particular period of time. And then the appropriate action is taken after that.
Kath, can I ask, what
yes.
on these reinstated licenses, is this generally just a matter of the license just lapsed due to expiration?
The license lapsed because they come up for renewal your birth month. So if you have, and it's every 2 years, so if you're born in March, you have the entire month of March to go ahead and renew your license. 75 days prior to a license being renewed, we send out a courtesy email to the person. Okay, so this courtesy email goes out, but it's still their responsibility
sure.
to actually
sure.
do the licensing. Once their license lapses, then we send an email, a courtesy email, to the agency to let them know that their agent's license has lapsed and they shouldn't be doing any business until they've been reinstated.
None of these are individual license got suspended in that.
No. We would go ahead and if there was a suspension, we would let you know that.
Okay. Thank you.
Kathy?
Yes.
What is the customary penalty for, let's say, an agent does write a bond when he hasn't issued a license?
Well, we actually look at the circumstances surrounding it. So to be able to say an actual customary amount, that's not necessarily something that I could just offer you. We have to look at how many.
So each one's an individual investigation.
Yes. So you know, we've had them where there've been substantial amounts that have been written, and you know, you look at if it's the agency. You're also looking how many times in the past did this occur with that particular agency. So it can become egregious if they've allowed agents to write on their behalf multiple times or numerous times. It can go anywhere from a private letter of admonition, public letter, to forfeiture, etc.
Any more questions for Kathy? Kathy, you have agency renewals that are being due right now. So
yes.
Say about that.
Yeah, okay, July 15th is the infamous date. Even though your license says that it doesn't expire until August the 14th, per code, your renewal information is due to our office July 15th. Okay, so if you're actually, you know, most people are coming in person and bringing the information. Some are emailing it, and that's fine. But you have to make sure that all the information to your license type is in my office, if it's by email, by July 15th, because that happens to be on a Saturday. Okay. And I'd also like to, when you're collaterally backed, you're talking about different aspects that you have to fulfill as far as the CPA, the property, et cetera, that you're doing on behalf of that. One of the things that we are making sure of is that there are no liens on the property that you're pledging, so that the equity that you're showing is actually the equity that you have in place. So.
And in the event you would find something attached to somebody's property, you would know that, would you basically just get a hold of the agency and tell them, you know, we're not going to accept this property as, because it's not free and clear?
Right. If there was something, or if they, you know, because you could have an equity issue where you have quite a bit of equity, but you are making up the money in another area. So, you know, that's just something that I would work with you and make sure that you are actually meeting the criteria to have your license renewed.
And that would likely result in you having to wait longer for your renewal to get back into business, because technically after the 15th, if you haven't approved it as a renewal, you're not
I have from the 15th to 14th, so your information has to be into me. If you miss the date, then you're not in compliance with the information that has to be to me by the 15th. But again, when you have approximately 38 agencies and they all think that July 14th is the day they should give the information to me, it's going to take me a little bit of time to go through and make sure that the information is correct.
Wayne has a question.
Yes.
Kathy, isn't the on a renewal or initial licensing, isn't the title report basically telling you what the title is on the
Yes, there is. But what we try to just make sure on the renewal is that the property, yes, originally when you pledge the property, your information is very tight, and then you're giving other information. Not all the time has a lien shown up, and so we're just verifying if there is a lien that you actually have it for.
So you're seeing title reports that miss the lien?
No, we're just making sure that they're covered. So it's just trying to make sure that due diligence is done.
Kathy, do you have an update on our audits for agencies?
Yes, right now if we look at the monthly report, you've noticed that there are 9 audits in process, and there are right at the present time. The individuals that have been contacted and presented the information to me, I do have that. I am in the process of working those, doing renewals, so we're trying to keep on top of all of it, but there will be questions that I will ask of the different agencies, and that's to be expected, to make sure that the audit is done in a complete manner.
So it's kind of like April 15th for tax season.
Absolutely.
And she's only one person.
So, as if we look at the bail bond monthly report, you do see that the investigations, there was a substantial amount of investigations that were done in this last quarter. If you look at the actual report, a lot of them were designation issues. There were failure to pay judgments, so and you know that can result in other actions. It's
right.
The start with the forfeiture judgment or failure to pay judgment. But you know, there were a few other things that we had to check, but the majority was regarding forfeiture judgments or designation issues.
Kathy, could you define designation issue for me, please?
When you let your license lapse, and then you get it reinstated.
And that's just for individuals?
And
agencies.
The agency is responsible for that individual. You know, there are quite a few times where it's just a few days that an agent's license has been down, and they haven't actually done any bond work, okay? But then there are other times where I've had in the past 2 years where they haven't been actually designated or associated. So, and it's very critical. I really do want to really stress, not only are the agent owners, licensed, they need to make sure that their licenses are up and that their associations do not go down, because not only are they the standard bearer for their agency, but there could be problems.
And it's really easy enough to check fee. Just get on the insurance department website. It's all right there.
Right, or remember when your birthday was.
Right. that's tough for some of us.
Yeah.
Wayne has a question?
Yeah, I'm curious on the issue of designation issues anyway. Uh-huh. Are you seeing a decline in that problem, or is it on a rise?
As
a result of examining it more?
It's one of those things. Sometimes when we're really stressing this, I see it go down the next month. It's really good. And then it seems like the month just before a meeting, it goes up.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So the word seems to be really good for a month to 2 months, but then it seems to rise up that third month. Okay, if we look into, I wanted to point out on the open enforcement cases. Now, bear in mind that this actually goes to the end of June. So there are some that are still showing open, and they will be reflected that they've been closed in the month of June, or July, excuse me. So some of them have been closed for July, but they were still open in June.
And these are cases that we're taking action, or you're taking action against them?
Yes, these are cases that they may have stipulated or agreed to stipulation based upon the code violations. Or it may be ones that they've requested a hearing, and so depending upon the process that's been requested, they go to the Attorney General's office, and then the process of completing that happens there. And so we don't have the control on that aspect of it. It becomes with our Attorney General's office and administrative law process. So.
Is that it? About it on that one?
It is, unless there are any more questions on it.
Does anybody have any questions about Kathy, about her audits and or enforcement activities? Doesn't look like it. So we'll move on to new business. Again, I'm not sure if I'm doing this out of order, but today, a part of new business, we were to have Senator Stuart Adams come and talk to us about his bill that he sponsored for us last year, SB 167, requiring judges to set cash bail and bondable bail in equal amounts. As we know, we've had some courts not follow that, and so we were kind of interested in having him come talk to us about it. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to make it here today. He intends to make it to another meeting later on in the year. So I'll move to strike Senator Stuart Adams from our agenda.
We'll speak about that for just a little bit. Currently, the Speaker of the House, Speaker Hughes, has asked the Legislative Legal Department to review that bill and find out why the courts feel that they can have a differential in bail. So that's where that's at.
And I should just strike that off of the agenda. I don't have to move for any motions or seconds or any of that sort of thing, okay? The next on the agenda, we have a new application, a new company. Is interested in joining the fray.
Yes.
Not sure why, but.
Yes, I'd like to talk about the application for Out on Bail LLC. They're actually going to be surety insured or surety backed. All right. They have provided a copy of the Articles of Organization, and it does show Thomas Breton as a registered agent and Linda Barnes as members, so he does have a percentage or stake in the agency. They have listed with the Department of Commerce as of March 15th, 2017. They do have their EIN number. And again, their qualifying power of attorney is from Lexington National Insurance Corporation. And that was actually approved April the 11th, 2017. So they've got that power. Thomas Brenton, and I'm not pronouncing his last name correctly, but he has the 2,000 hours. He's been licensed as a bail agent since March 20th of 2001. We do have a letter on letterhead from the agency who represented the longest for the over 2,000 hours, so they've affirmed that he has been working.
What agency?
Pardon?
What agency was it?
It was Rebel. We do have the tax information for 2014 and 2015. They do have an operational account, and it is at the Desert View Federal Credit Union, which is a Utah, does have a branch here in Utah, so they fulfill that requirement. They do have a trust account with a signature card and a copy of the check. So they have met that part of the licensing requirement.
About the new application?
I'm assuming Lexington National doesn't have any outstanding judgments.
No. Yeah.
Wayne?
And I'm curious if you have the information, how many other agencies are under the Lexington umbrella? You know?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I focus just generally on, on the one.
Do I motion to adopt or have to pass their application, or?
You ask for a motion.
I ask for a motion to accept their application.
Motion to accept.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second pass.
They will be very happy.
Steve, we have a new general public board member, I guess, a vacancy?
Yes. As of July 7th, Pete Stevens sent in his resignation from the board. So we will need to find a general public member to take his place for the remainder of his term, which I think went until, let me look, June 30th of 2019. So we'll do some looking, but if anyone knows anyone, please send them our way.
What's the requirement?
Just need to be a general public member, I believe, not connected to the industry. Yeah.
Do you have a deadline that you want that application to?
I don't have one, but what are we on? We could say by the end of the month, probably. That's probably a good call. And then, to apply, people can just go to boards.utah.gov, and then there's a form they can fill out. They'll need to fill out a form and then submit a resume as well. We need both of those to be able to consider you.
Encourage folks from the industry to go find somebody who might be a good advocate for us, and that'd be a pretty smart thing for us to do. Versus somebody who knows nothing whatsoever about bail bonds coming here and making decisions for us. Next on the agenda, old business. I'm not sure. You know, I'll just pull this up because I noticed that in the last meeting we had, I know that Brad had some questions about adopting the minutes to determine if he wanted some determination on something before he was willing to adopt them. There's a stipulation in here that Gordon motioned to adopt the minutes as long as they are consistent with the recordings. So did we ever?
Yes.
That?
And I didn't print those out, but I did go back and listen, and what they said was pretty close to true. So I just made the changes. They're up on the website.
Okay,
so.
Terrific.
other business you maybe would like to bring up? Now, this might be a record, the quickest Belmont board meeting that ever happened. I'll be kind of proud to carry the moniker as long as I can, so.
I've got one, I mean, mine are referring to, not, I don't think it was April's meeting, but the meeting before that when Keisha Williams was here. I mean, is there any other rumblings about what the Arnold Foundation is doing that anyone's aware of? Wayne?
I can tell you that they've canceled the last two pretrial committee hearings with no notification as to why or when the new scheduled thing. And it's just up in the air. I kind of look at it as like they've almost gone underground. So,
you know, the insurance department or anything from them at all whatsoever?
Brett's the committee, but he hasn't, if they've been canceled,
right,
last
so we don't have
more.
There is some activity in 4th District and Second District Court, though, addressing pretrial. I mean, those courts are actively looking at methods to implement, but they haven't necessarily implemented them yet. But they are analyzing and examining. Yes,
it's under my. I'm under the impression that that's supposed to start in September of this year. Both courts will actively be instating.
And they have had several dates of scheduled. And,
right, that's the last that I had heard, yeah. Is September. It was set to start, so.
We haven't seen anything formal.
Right.
Yeah.
The judges, at the last judges conference, Justice Court judge came back and notified us that that's what was happening. So it was discussed there at least.
Anything else? I'll move to adjourn this meeting then.
Second.